This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to need Curry for the next 4 or 5 games in the rest of the season, man. The Warriors are in good shape, man. Calm down, and Kuminga is going to do a good job. At that point, Joe, you guys are doing a great job, man, and keep it up.
Appreciate
Go Warriors.
Thank you, Oscar. I understand him saying calm down to everyone, but there's 11 games left in the season, and you're clinging to the sixth spot right now. You're Donovan clinging to the sixth spot right now. I give myself a 4 for that reference. But I understand what he's saying, where it's like, it's all just take a deep breath on the Steve Kerr, Jonathan Kuminga. It's only been a couple weeks now, but a couple weeks turns into 3 to 4 to months, and then it starts becoming a trend. Like, well, at one point is this starting to say, like, you know what, the JK thing, like, can we continue to look at him as this team's third best scorer if that's what he needs to be for this team to make a deep run? Or do we start looking elsewhere on the roster and saying, you know what? You know, Draymond Green was scoring at a very high level the last few weeks. And during this Jimmy Butler era, Joe Shasky, he's been one of their most consistent and best scorers. He's been shooting that 3-ball. He's been chucking that thing. Didn't have a great night Saturday, but overall, the totality of Draymond Green, the scoring experience, has been great the last few weeks. Like, maybe we start need to recalibrating when it comes to who needs to be that third scorer come playoff time. And I get it. Maybe Draymond's consistency won't be there because he's going to be battling some really, really tough offensive players, and it's going to take a lot out of him on the offensive side, what he has to do defensively. We talk about that a lot. Like, you know, the team's hunting Steph on the defensive end, right, and trying to wear him out on the offensive end, vice versa. So there's going to be a lot of that baked into it. And Jonathan Kuminga, I do think he's going to be getting some good looks still, because you're going to be forced to honor the Jimmy Butlers and the Stephen Currys. I question whether we should start looking at it as, you know, JK having to be the team's third best player in a playoff run. Like, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does need to be Draymond. Maybe it does. Is that fair? Or is that too of a quick reaction of the last few weeks of Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green offensively?
No, I think there's a direct correlation. Like, they look their best when Trey is hitting some shots. I think that's necessary. Third best scorer? I don't know. Like, that's asking a lot from him. 15 a game? That's the sweet spot. To me, like, 13 to 15 a game, if I was knowing that I was getting that from Draymond Green every game, wow. I mean, how different would this offense look?
Maybe not third best scorers, not the best. Yeah, because that involves, like, points and how many points are you scoring. But definitely, like, the third option of, like, I need the consistency from this guy.
Yeah.
Like,
I'll buy.
That's, like, the consistency of the Draymond Green offense.
Let's talk about his last game. I didn't think his offense was that great. I didn't think his defense was that great. No. I thought he was a sluggish version of Trey. But to be fair, I feel like I've gotten a version of him for about a month and a half now where it's turned back the clock.
The body of work.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? But there is something to be said. There are these bigger guys that want to bang and are younger than him and way more than him.
Do they want to bang?
They're crushing him right now. The thing with Kerr, like, if we critique something about Steve Kerr, that doesn't mean he sucks. We're nitpicking here, but that's part of kind of the job. So, like, for example, Willie McCovey, one of the greatest players of all time.
Hall of Famer.
Okay. This guy, Orlando Cepeda, came up, and they both played first base.
Heard of him.
They threw Willie McCovey in left field, and he was like a fish out of water. He was not a left fielder. All right? He's a Hall of Fame first baseman. I do not think Jonathan Kuminga is a Hall of Famer. Oh, that's not what I'm saying. But what happens in the Kerr offense is you're asking him to basically play left field, right? That's this read and react, make decisions, be a passer, take a dribble, kick it here. Like that really doesn't accentuate what he does well.
No, honestly, it was a perfect team to play against because I think he'd excel great in an Atlanta Hawks system.
Totally agree.
He'd be perfect.
He'd be like John Collins was a couple years back, right? Like, you know how he was just ripping, dunking, doing all that. So I would say that, like, asking JK to play the read and react exclusively alongside a bunch of non-shooters is really basically like asking him to play left field, you know, the equivalent, right? And so it's the same thing like with Brian Hoyer. Would I want Brian Hoyer running read option?
Oh, God.
I watched Kyle Shanahan run that play a couple times, and I was like, what are you doing?
I watched him run with Trey Lance, and it still didn't work.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing, right? And so when I see JK being asked to do a lot of that read and react stuff, you're asking for trouble. That's not what he does well. So now I go, well, Steve, you are a really good coach. Let's just run a couple high pick and rolls with Jimmy and Kuminga, and let's just see what happens.
Well, that's why I don't think, and Oscar, he
like, there's a happy medium.
Well, exactly. I don't think it's this. I don't think people are like, and there are, again, there are fans, so I don't want to say that are really angry at Steve Kerr. They just want to see players be put in positions to succeed. That's all we want as fans. And sometimes we don't feel like that's done. And sometimes the coach will own that and say, I need to do a better job. And sometimes they'll say it was the player's fault. Like, again, I'm not saying it's a like-for-like comparison, but the Trey Lance thing, you know, the big part of a lot of fans' vitriol and being angry at Kyle Shanahan, you know, going back to Trey Lance getting drafted so high and trading all that draft capitals, they didn't feel like he was put in a position to succeed early.
No.
They didn't feel like the head coach had trust in him to do the things that he did well in college, whether I was ripping the ball deep, or doing a, they thought like, wow, we're doing quarterback option runs up the gun, like gun runs. Like what, that's what we're doing. Like, then he gets hurt. And then he's like, see, I told you, this is what's going to happen. So fans just want to be, you know, showed from the head coach and from the coaching staff that these players are being in position to succeed. So the problem with that is like, you got to take the training wheels off at some point. The player has to also show that he could do the things that you need to, like we've learned, Trey Lance just might not be good at football.
No doubt.
But it might not be good.
And Kuminga, I don't think he's an all-star level player by any means. But here's what I'll say to you. Like, they run the same offense without Curry, like Curry's in the game.
And you can't,
You just can't do that.
Yeah.
You just can't do that.
There's no player that has the gravity of a Stephen Curry out there. That's just going
to... It's like asking who... I don't even know who's the backup to Lamar Jackson. Play exactly the same way as Lamar Jackson.
Oh, didn't they just sign someone new?
It doesn't matter who it is. You get what I'm saying. There's only one Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And so, like, when I'm telling, like, a lot of Warriors fans.
That's right, yeah.
Who? Got
Cooper Rush.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not going to play anywhere like Lamar Jackson. So to think that the Warriors are just going to roll out against Atlanta and run the exact same offense throughout the entirety of the game that they do when Steph Curry's out there, I don't think that's smart. I actually don't. I think that's pretty silly. And, like, I would adjust based on the personnel I have out there. Why do you think they settled for so many late in the shot clock shots? Bad shots.
Bad shots.
Because you're waiting for someone to come off the screen who's not playing.
Yeah.
The way you were playing basketball with Steph is not the way that you would play if Steph was out for 2 months. You would adjust the style. So with him being out, I thought that their offensive sets were lackluster.
Is that the most like the final piece to the puzzle, if you will, right? You're talking about this puzzle, this Rubik's Cube, Tetris, whatever reference you want to use, a jigsaw puzzle. Like, all this mixing and matching since Jimmy Butler's here. So we got Jimmy Butler. We got Draymond Green. Quentin Post has been playing well. Moses Moody. Brandon Pajemski. You know, Guy Santos here and there. Buddy Hield, you know, I want some more consistency there, but he's shown some flashes. Gary Payton's been playing well. And Steph, obviously, he's had some big games, big performances. He needed some rest, and he was hurt. Like, if you're Steve Kerr, is that the final piece to this puzzle? Is the Jonathan Kuminga aspect to it? Or is there something that's even more important that we're not talking about when it comes to whether it's the minute allocation with the older guys, whether it's rest, whether it's this Stephen Curry rest angle? Like, I'm trying to...
The final piece of the puzzle is a personnel move probably in the offseason to get him a big that would really match
this year.
Yeah, this year, like, I think they're making the most of it. The problem is that you're relying on Buddy Hield to provide certain things, and he's just... He's inconsistent. You're relying on GP2 to stay, you know, solid from the outside. Moody, whose shooting hasn't been as good. You're relying a lot on him being a great catch and shoot player. Not good. Great. Right? Like, in his limited amount of touches, you need him to be great. And you're asking Draymond Green to go back in the well and be a 15-point-a-game scorer. So I think they're asking a lot from the current roster. And then you're asking even more when Curry's not on the floor. Yeah. That's a lot. It's a lot.
Ryan in St. Louis wants to join the conversation. What's up, Ryan? You're all Spadoni and Shasky. How you doing, man?
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing today?
I'm doing good.
Great. It's beautiful out here in the Bay.
Awesome, man. Happy spring to everybody, too, as well. I want to talk about, y'all remember Moses Moody, maybe, 2 months ago, he couldn't get no consistent playing time, right?
None.
But until the trade happened, he was able to get a role. And for years, everybody was like, hey, Steve Kerr, play Moses Moody more. And same thing with J.K. as well. And I know we look at the team now with Jimmy Butler, and we like, oh, the team has transformed. But because of the GM trading 3 or 4 guys out the way, it shortened the roster and kind of forced Steve Kerr to give these guys roles, right? And so then everybody starts seeing Moses Moody go out there and play better with a consistent role and also consistent minutes. And now, even though Buddy was playing horrible, a lot of fans were looking at Steve Kerr was like, how is it that Buddy can play consistent minutes for 3 months straight shooting 20-some percent as a sharpshooter? And then when other guys get in the game, fans patient for J.K. like, bro, he's been back for 2 weeks after being gone for 30 days, and we saying he's terrible, he can't fit in. But we sat there and watched for 30-some games, Buddy Hill play horrible and still always was relied upon. And so what I'm just asking fans for is this, man, let's keep that same energy for J.K. Allow this man to understand he's an athlete. You know what I mean? He's a springy guy. When he did play well, if you look at his career with the Golden State Warriors, every time Andrew Wiggins was missed or a couple players were hurt and he was forced into a role, his game accelerated. He gave you 18 points consistently. The more time he got out there, he was more trusted. And I think the same thing has to happen to him, but he's trying to conform to a whole new roster for him as well. We was begging for a stretch five. Quentin Post didn't start playing until a trade happened. Quentin Post should have been playing on this team a little earlier because we was needing a big guy, and now we have one. Jonathan Kuminga has never played with him as well. So he's coming into a whole new situation. It's like, man, I was playing good. Now all of a sudden I have to adjust how I'm playing with a guy like Jimmy Butler too. And so I just hope Steve Kerr sit back, take a seat, like, hold on. High pick and rolls. What did J.K. do in the end of the 5-minute game against the Clippers, like Spadoni said earlier, that made him successful? Let's get this guy's confidence back, because that's what he needs. Because he feels everybody looking at every little moment, every little move that he makes, and like, oh, am I going to be on the bench, or am I the reason why we're losing? And that's not what you want for a young guy. You know what I mean? We need to empower him and give him that confidence, and also empower Steve Kerr to go out there and let him make a couple mistakes, because you're going to need him. Draymond Green is not going to consistently be that shooter or that guy to average 18 points. We know that's not even the role that he wants to play. And so in order for this team to have the long-term success we might need to make a couple mistakes here and there, but the long-term, Jonathan Kuminga is somebody that we're going to help us against those athletic teams like the Houston, athletic teams like Denver, athletic team like the Clippers, because we can't beat the Clippers to save our lives. I don't know why we can't. Like, we're going to need this guy. And so I just hope J.K. and Steve Kerr and Jimmy Butler get together, man. We're going to be all right. We just got to give these guys confidence, man, and encourage these young fellas to go out there and be the best they can be.
There you go. That's Ryan St. Louis right there. How about you go over there, Ryan? I'm going to actually fly you out to Miami. You can give him a pregame speech. You guys seem to go out there and be the best that you can be. All right. There you go. You know what? I like that positive mental outlook from Ryan at the end there, because I do believe this team, top to bottom, like, they can be a very tough out and can make a run in the playoffs if things are clicking on all cylinders. And I do think Jonathan Kuminga needs to be somewhat a part of that. I'm questioning now how big of a role that's going to be going forward.
What do you want his role to be?
I want him to be able to come off the bench and ball out and be that guy that can score. I just want him to go out there and score. If I get anything else, that's great.
So
I want
if he's
him
playing
to be able
20
to
minutes a night, like hypothetically, you expect him to score how many points?
18, 20.
How many guys in the league score a point per minute?
888-957-9570. I don't have that in front of me right now.
I mean, even the best scorers in the league don't score a point per minute. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get what you're saying, but like, when we peel the onion back a little and we look at like how many shots you take, how many minutes are you playing? Like, we're asking almost unrealistic numbers here.
Well, kind of, but like 16 points. I didn't think that the points were like, it goes back to efficiency at the same time. Like, if it looks good,
okay,
like I can deal with 15. Like, same with Draymond, right? Like, his 10 points are not what Jonathan Kuminga's 10 points usually are, because Jonathan Kuminga's going to be taking a lot more shots sometimes. But lately, Draymond has been scoring more and shooting the ball more and being more aggressive, and you just want that overall mindset. So Yeah, I say maybe, and maybe that was strong, 18 to 20 points.
I think a lot of people agree with what, like, maybe not that exact number.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people agree with you, like, he should be near 20 points a game. And my thing to that would be, like, if you're only playing 20 to 23, 24 minutes a night, we're asking this guy to be a prolific scorer.
And I just don't want it to look clunky. Like, that's really what it is. So, like, he could score 12 or 13 or 10 points, like, and if it looks fluid and within the offense, like, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because that means the whole team is flowing and it feels good.
Do you know how many minutes a game right now, MVP, the leader in the clubhouse, plays per game? Shea Gilgeous.
How many what?
How many minutes a game
does Shea play? I'm going to guess around 34.
So he plays 34.3 minutes a game.
Look at that. Look at me.
He scores 32.8. Okay?
It's pretty good.
So I want people to understand, like, you're asking JK, some people, not everyone, like, literally score a minute, a bucket per minute, is like, a point per minute, which would be one of the highest clips in the league.
Well, so a lot of people think he should be getting more minutes and should be starting. So that's baked into it too. So a lot of people think the 20 and 22 is not a lot. So I want him to score more. That means he has to be out there on the floor longer.
No, but I think what my thing would be, like, I would take scoring off the table. Because I do think that he's fixated with my impact comes via scoring. And I would say to him, no. Jonathan, where your impact would come in is I want you to just be a hellacious defender, and I want you to be a hellacious rebounder and a boxer outer. If you're doing those things, the points is all gravy. And I think that's the difficult thing right now is everyone else wants him to score and do all those things, and I don't think that should be his role. I think the scoring should be secondary, and I think what I would be asking for him is to be the second or third best defender on the team while simultaneously being one of the second or third best rebounders and boxer outers. And the area where Wiggins made the biggest jump in the playoffs for that run when they won a championship was not offensively.
It was defensively.
It was defensively and rebounding. We didn't know he could rebound like that. And so I would take a page out of the GP2 book and say, I want you to be better at everything of those little things that we're looking at. And the scoring stuff would be secondary. I know we're all looking at scoring. Scoring's going to come. It's the defense and the rebounding and the boxing out. And if he does those little things, all the money in the world would be coming to him. All of the shots and everything. We can live with all the other stuff. Do those things.
Biggest area improvement you'd like to see there for Jonathan Kuminga, 888-957-9570. And is the defense more important than the offense at this point for JK? If he wants to have that minute allocation come playoff time, I actually do agree with that, because the one part that was slept on that entire run, it was two-way wig. And again, we kind of laugh at it now, but it was a real thing in that stretch, him going up against the Lucas of the world, getting switched on the Tatums or the Browns. Like, that was such a huge part. When your best player really doesn't play on that side of the ball in Steph Curry, like,
yeah,
he tries. I'm not trying to, like, poo-poo. He tries. But, like, that's not his strong suit. Like, you better have someone else there. And that's why the Jimmy Butler move was so huge. And having Draymond Green there, and if you could add Jonathan Kuminga into that, and they have been one of the best defensive rating teams in the NBA during this Jimmy Butler stretch. So I do want to make that clear. But it could be even better if Jonathan Kuminga can emerge there. And that is the great equalizer in a playoff series. If I'm going up against the Thunder and I can get that defensive tenacity going with JK up against those Williams guys or Shea Gilgeous, like, yeah, that unlocks a whole lot more. Real quick, Joe Chester, pick this up on the other side.